Welcome to Fresh Research, a podcast from the nonprofit Times. We explore some of the most interesting and sometimes provocative findings focused on the world of nonprofits. Thanks for tuning in. Here at the nonprofit Times, we see tons of great, fresh research. So in each episode, we take a recent study or survey and have a conversation with the authors about what they found and why they think it's important for charities. We'll also give away some books and give you access to other valuable information from the nonprofit Times.
The coronavirus pandemic has impacted the nonprofit sector in a number of ways. What effect COVID-19 might have on charitable behavior like volunteering remains to be seen. In this episode, we talk to Nathan Dietz, Associate Research Scholar at the University of Maryland's School of Public Policy and a senior researcher at its Do Good Institute. He and Robert Grimm co-authored Community in Crisis, a look at how U.S. charitable actions and civic engagement change in times of crisis. The 12-page report looks at charitable behavior after three crises: the September 11th terrorist attacks, Hurricane Katrina in 2005, and the Great Recession. Tell me about the report. My understanding, you look at different case studies like volunteering and charitable behaviors after after September 11th in 2001 in New York, after Hurricane Katrina in 2005 in New Orleans, and then also just, I guess, generally at the national level after the Great Recession.
Yeah. I think like a lot of research reports that have come out recently, this was driven by just the immediacy of the crisis. I talked with Bob Grimm right about the time that we left our office in mid-March about the possibility of putting out something that would address the issue of what happens with charitable behavior when a big national crisis hits. And what we realized as we were talking through possibilities is that in all likelihood, the scope of this particular crisis was going to be unlike anything else. The Great Recession affected the entire country, and it lasted for over a year, almost 2 years. But the actual impact, as far as we could tell, on volunteering and giving, it was statistically significant. I think there were significant changes over the course of that period, but they were not what you would call big. It's not like we saw a huge surge in volunteering or giving. In fact, we saw a decline. I think Patrick Rooney's recent article yesterday pointed out there was a decline in household giving of about 17% during the Great Recession, and it took a while for the charitable sector to recover from that. So we were thinking about what could we do to illustrate the possible impacts of a crisis this large in scope that was happening nationwide. And we thought about the fact that we could exploit the local level data we have on volunteering and giving and other types of civic engagement during two huge famous crises. One is 9/11, which affected New York, I think, more than any other single city. And the other is Hurricane Katrina, which affected New Orleans more than any single city. So what we did was we put together trend data on volunteering, giving, as well as two measures of civic engagement: attending a public meeting where community affairs were discussed, and working with your neighbors to fix or improve something. And we had trend data going at least 7 or 8 years for each of those four indicators. And we looked at the trends for New York, for New Orleans, and nationally. And we were interested not just in what happened in the places where there was a crisis, a huge one, huge local crisis. We were not just interested in whether or not there was a surge in activity, which is what we would have expected. And in fact, that's what we found. But we were interested in the question of what happens after that, after the crisis drops off the front page of newspapers, out-of-town newspapers. How long does it take before engagement levels in civic activities kind of drop back to normal? So that's really the theme of our report, is not just how do Americans respond to a crisis, but how long does it take before the urgency to respond wears off?
Yeah, once it falls off the front page, it's usually, at least as far as charitable giving, that's usually when it kind of tails off. Is that what you saw with when it comes to charitable behaviors and volunteering in those instances?
That is what we saw in both New York and in New Orleans. The tricky part is that the timing of the three crises that we were studying in our brief kind of overlapped a little bit in terms of when they occurred. On the one hand, we had September 11th, and We don't have data because of when the current population survey started collecting data on volunteering. We don't have data from before 9/11/2001. The first data that we have from the CPS was collected in September of 2002. So we got a sense of what was happening nationally and in New York right after 9/11, but we couldn't do a before and after comparison to measure any surge. With Hurricane Katrina, we had that happening in New Orleans. Hurricane Katrina touched ground in, I think, August of 2005. And not too long after that, the Great Recession started. So for a while there, we had continuing response and recovery efforts in New Orleans that were happening at the same time as the Great Recession was happening. So it seems like it would be hard to figure out which crisis was the bigger contributor in a place like New Orleans. But as it turned out, we saw a surge in New Orleans that lasted through the entire period of the Great Recession. So even if the Great Recession might have affected the local economy and dampened participation rates, we still saw higher than national average levels of volunteering, and especially what we call informal volunteering, working with your neighbors to fix a community problem through about 2012. The thing is, by the mid-2010s, by about 2013, we started to see a significant decline in most, if not all, of our charitable indicators in all three places. In New York, we saw it. In New Orleans, we saw it in a big way, in a kind of a shocking way, because the declines were so severe between the early 2010s and the mid-2010s. And we saw it nationally, not just in these indicators, but in several others. So that made us realize that even though there was something going on nationwide, maybe that was discouraging participation in some sense, it was even happening in places where there had not too many years before been a big surge in civic activity.
Yeah, I remember your previous that previous report that you guys did, Where Are America's Volunteers, from 2018.
Uh-huh.
That had a really, I guess I would say, not pessimistic because it didn't look forward, but it reviewed data from about 02 to 15 that showed volunteer rates really kind of declining.
Yep.
How much of an impact did that have on these case studies? Did that follow the general downward trend, or and these cities or these areas saw bursts after those events?
Yeah, I think what we saw in both New Orleans and New York is that there was a burst in activity right after the crisis, when the community came together and people started to serve at higher rates. But by the time we got to the mid-2010s, what was happening nationally was also happening in those two metropolitan areas. And that I think is surprising in light of what we saw in Where Are America's Volunteers, because what we saw there is that the decline in major cities, there wasn't much of a decline in major cities during that period. The decline, what was driving the decline at the national level, were declines in volunteering rates in suburban areas and in rural areas. You know, the places where civic engagement has traditionally been higher than in any other part of the country. So that was kind of a surprise. I think both New Orleans and New York are not known for high levels of engagement. By the time we got to about 2015, they were the participation rates in both of these areas were close to the bottom of all the metropolitan areas for which we had data in terms of ranking. But I think the surprising part, especially in the case of New Orleans, was that the surge was so large, so much bigger than it was in New York, for instance, and so sustained. It lasted for a good 4 or 5, maybe even 6 years after Hurricane Katrina hit. So in context of where those areas normally rank in terms of participation in civic activities, the surges were actually pretty substantial.
We'll have more with Nathan Dietz of the Do Good Institute about what lessons there are from previous crises right after this.
If you like what you're hearing, share it with friends and colleagues on social media. Use the hashtag FreshResearch or retweet the Nonprofit Times link, and you'll be eligible to win a book from the NPT Library. Another way for folks to find the show, rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey If you're interested in nonprofit events and news, then consider checking out the Whole Whale podcast. For over 5 years, we've covered topics related to marketing, technology, and communications in the social impact space. Recently, we've covered things like tackling Facebook fundraising, why you shouldn't build that mobile app, and why right now is the best time to start your capital campaign. So find us using the Whole Whale on whatever podcast app that you choose to use.
We're talking with Nathan Dietz of the Do Good Institute and their report, Community in Crisis, a look at how U.S. charitable actions and civic engagement change in times of crisis. And so what does this mean, do you think, for this current sort of crisis? We've seen the charitable giving in the first 3 months, just like any sort of disaster. Child giving has surged to human services areas and sectors that were expected to. But this is different in that you can't really volunteer because of social distancing, all that. You've had Habitat for Humanity stop all their projects. You've had all kinds of different organizations that normally, have tons of volunteers really limited. So it sounds like it's really unique in that way. What do you learn from these previous case studies that you think might work or might foretell what happens after COVID-19?
Well,
during COVID-19, I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Yeah, I was going to say with your support, maybe we will be past it soon. But I think what we talk about in the brief is the fact that, first of all, nonprofit organizations need to, and community leaders really too, need to pay attention to the fact that when everything gets back to normal, quote unquote, we don't want participation rates to get back to normal. If people are more interested in being engaged in their communities and helping each other, then community leaders and organizations need to work hard to be there with opportunities for people to help after the immediacy of the crisis is over. And we also talk about this in the looking at the Great Recession. Just kind of illustrates how much of a contrast there is between the impact of that on the nation as a whole and the impact of COVID-19 on the nation as a whole. I think there were large sections of the populace rode through the period of the Great Recession without really experiencing any significant harms. There were harms for a lot of people, especially the people who were evicted from their homes because of the mortgages that they took out. And there was a problem with a decline in giving from households. But overall, for instance, the volunteer rate didn't change very much at all. It actually increased significantly in 2009, but there overall was not much of a change. It's interesting, but if you look at what happened in the nonprofit sector in terms of revenues, what I think you see in terms of organizations and the money that they took in is that even though many organizations experienced a downturn in giving from individuals and from corporations and other organizations, many of them managed to make up for that shortfall by increasing their emphasis on commercial revenues, getting money from sales of goods and services. And also in the end, the size of the nonprofit sector didn't really change much. People were predicting a huge extinction event during the Great Recession with tons of nonprofits going under due to the financial pressures. But in the end, there was just the extinction rate, if you want to call it that, for mm-hmm. nonprofit organizations was only a little bit higher than it was before or even after the Great Recession. So what we're seeing now is very different, and mainly because of the social distancing and sheltering in place regulations that we're all having to live under. That has, first of all, disrupted business as usual for many nonprofit organizations. You hear a lot of stories about, well, our organization's in big trouble because we're supposed to have our big fundraising event in the spring and we had to cancel it. And that's usually the way we bring in all of our money. Now we don't know what we're going to do. You heard stories, including one coming out of New York and that I saw in, I think, early April, where the call went out from state government for volunteers to come and help with healthcare work, just to fill in for healthcare workers in hospitals and provide some surge capacity. The people who volunteered found that they ran into a huge snafu when it came to the enrollment procedure. The state had a lot of trouble placing people in hospitals to do in their assignments until a lot of time had passed. I think what a lot of nonprofit organizations are experiencing is the immediate need to reach out to potential volunteers and get help with service provisions through virtual means. But I think a lot of organizations never really build up that capacity in the past. I think that's probably part of the reason why the national volunteering rate doesn't tend to change very much. You know, we measure formal volunteering, which is unpaid work through or for an organization. And maybe the rate doesn't change very much, in part because nonprofit organizations tend not to need very many more volunteers. They have the volunteers that they need. And as long as the status quo persists, they're fine. They don't really need to reach out to more volunteers. Now they're at a point where, of course, they do need more volunteers. They need donors. They need to reach out to community members for all kinds of things. And community members want to reach out to nonprofit organizations, but we can't, at least not in the traditional ways.
What would you expect with everything virtual now? The volunteers will increase? Will that be any kind of a substantial bump in the volunteering rate with people doing virtual things? I've seen nonprofits here and there that have put a call out for virtual volunteering, and I know there's only so much you can do virtually, but everyone's, you know, if you're lucky enough to work remotely and from home, there's a lot of things going on virtually. Is volunteering one thing that might go that way?
Thinking about that question makes everyone realize just how important it is to have reliable national data about what actually happens during a time like this. Because like you, I've seen a lot of stories. I've seen a lot of exhortations. There are a lot of people saying, okay, now is the time, if there ever was a time, to get involved with virtual volunteering and to promote volunteer activities that can be done online. Now is the time. But you hear stories about organizations that are trying to do that successfully, but I think the jury is out about how involved people are going to be with especially with organizations, how much formal volunteering is going to be affected by the fact that we're doing so many more things online these days. What I'm keeping my eye on, I think, is just the outgrowth of what we call mutual aids networks. They're not organized enough, according to a lot of people's definitions, to be called nonprofit organizations, even though there's no profit involved. I think they're mainly staffed by volunteers, and they're self-organized in a lot of cases. But many of those mutual aid networks are really long-lived and have been around for a while. And many more, I think, have sprung up recently. You've got, for instance, organizations that are starting up in a large number of cities, I think over 20 cities, that are trying to prevent evictions from occurring now that the prohibition on evictions by landlords is about to be lifted in many places. I think there are ad hoc networks of community activists who are getting together to try to work with local governments to prevent that from happening. So that type of activity would not be included in the type of volunteering that we're able to measure with the CPS, because you wouldn't call it formal volunteering. But that type of activity, I think, is probably surging more than almost anything. And I think that's worth following for sure, is just trying to figure out how much of a lasting impact increased involvement in these mutual aid networks is going to have on the charitable sector overall.
What kind of advice would you have for charities in this kind of situation based off what you've seen?
I think the most basic recommendations, which I think we've seen before from people who give advice to nonprofit organizations. If you're worried about your donors, it's always a good idea to stay in close contact with your donors. And even if you're not reaching out to them to ask them to give to the organization, to donate money, maybe just reaching out to them to say, hey, we're hoping that you're okay. Here's what we're doing. Here's how we managed to make it through the recession. And here's what we're planning on doing in the immediate future. As soon as organizations have the ability to reach people who they haven't been able to reach online, I think a message like that can only help. I think that hopefully organizations that haven't found an effective way to develop an online presence can learn from their peers, can try to figure out, can learn some way of getting online and using the internet to engage potential donors and potential volunteers, or existing donors and existing volunteers. because even after the crisis hits and people start traveling around more and going to places more often, the internet is still going to be a really effective way to reach people. I think a lot of us have developed habits of using the internet that we never had before. we use it a lot more often for so many more things, and organizations should really try to capitalize on that. If it means a change in approach, I think a lot of people have been calling for that, for nonprofit organizations to try to adopt a new approach for a long time. You know, virtual volunteering has been promoted for as long as I've been studying volunteering, and hopefully now the message really starts to take root. The last piece of advice goes back to this, the discussion about mutual aid networks. I think those deserve a lot more attention, A, because they're doing good work, and it's a really fascinating example of the way that people work together to try to solve community problems. But B, because a lot of this information is available online because the networks are organizing themselves online. This housing mutual aid network that's happening in 20 plus cities, there's a website associated to tracking, mapping the activities and tracking the work that's being done in all those places. So I think a nonprofit organization can find a willing set of volunteers and donors just by getting in touch with the people who run those networks. I mean, with what you're able to see, if you look at information about these networks, is evidence, proof positive of people just organizing themselves to solve community problems, right? If they're not involved with your organization and they're in your community, then that's on you to figure out how to get in touch with them. Maybe you didn't know how to identify them before this, but now that you do, I think that you, the organizations really should reach out to them.
Great. Well, thanks, Nathan. I appreciate the time.
No, it's great to talk to you, Mark.
Take care.
You too.
That's Nathan Dietz, Associate Research Scholar at the University of Maryland's School of Public Policy and a Senior Researcher at the Do Good Institute. He's co-author, along with Robert Grimm, of Community in Crisis, a look at how U.S. charitable actions and civic engagement change in times of crisis.
That's our episode for today. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share the Fresh Research link on Twitter or Facebook to be eligible to win something from the NPT Library. You can also share on social media with the hashtag #FreshResearch. And if you like what you hear, please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Fresh Research, a podcast from the Nonprofit Times, spotlighting research and trends in the philanthropic sector. Till next time, keep up with us at thenonprofittimes.com for all your nonprofit news.